Okay, we're continuing in Bilvavi Mishkan Evna at the bottom of page Tess, paragraph Zion. And the Tzaddik is telling us very important to understand the purpose of one's life, and one must totally be in sync with that concept every moment, like the carpenter who is sawing a piece of wood. If he'll forget 1 minute about that, he will cut his hand off or do a very poor job. And therefore, that's the same thing with understanding the purpose of one's life. If you don't really have that purpose of life, you know, incredibly terrible things can happen to the person. And he says this knowledge is known and not known, because to the degree that if we really knew this, our lives would be different. So let's understand what this purpose is as we begin paragraph 7. What is the purpose of man in this world? So Yiduim Divrei Mesil Shesharim, the words of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato are well known in his first chapter of the work Mesil Shesharim. Shekasav, he writes, where he talks about how the purpose of this world is God created us to give us pleasure. And he says, the ultimate pleasure is if one achieves perfection. What is the ultimate perfection? He says, "Be'emes ki ashleimus hamiti urak advekus bor yisparach shemo." True perfection, true completion, true wholesomeness is only, it's going to come from nowhere else, is only from dvekus, attaching oneself to God. Because God is the source of perfection. So to the degree that you can connect to that source of perfection, to that degree that you will be that way. And the Mesil Shesharim continues. And this is understood in the words of David HaMelech. When King David said, "Vani, and for me, kirvas Elokim li tov, closeness to Hashem, that is what is good for me." You want to know what is it that I want more than anything else? Being close to Hashem. That's the end of the Mesil Shesharim. So now the Tzaddik explains. Klomar, meaning to say, Im Adam writes Aladas, Mahu Adam Shalim. If you want to know what is a complete person, Ma David HaMelech Hevin Shetov Bishvilo, and what King David understood what was good for him. Vimutov Bishvilo, and if it's good for him, Hutov Bishvil Kol Yachid VeYachid Meitanu, it's good for every one of us. What is that which is good to make a person wholesome and complete? The answer is Vani Kirves Elokim Litov, and for me, closeness to Hashem, that is what is good for me. So now the Tzaddik explains what King David meant with this. For example, Shulchan Shavur, a broken table, Af Adam Eino Me'unyan Bo. Nobody is interested in buying a broken table, or using one, or bothering with one. Kisei Shavur, a broken chair, Af Adam Eino Me'unyan Bo. Nobody's interested in a broken chair. Mita Shavur, a broken bed, Af Adam Eino Rotzeh Lishon Lo. Nobody wants to sleep on it. Lanum Bo Eshnoso, to have his slumber of his sleep. He doesn't want it. People aren't interested in broken things. They want whole, complete things. So, Kal V'chomer ben Bino shel Kal V'chomer, a fortiori, all the more so, certainly all the more so. Shaf Adam bipnimius nafsho. If a person in the inner workings of his soul, Eina rotza lios Adam shavur, if a person does not want to be a broken, spirited person, El Adam Shalim, but rather a wholesome and a complete person. So, we can skip the brackets. You want to be that kind of person? Maze Yehudi Shalom. So what is a complete person? What is a complete person? Right? Everyone wants to be the perfect package. So we're going to say, Shlochasol Yadayim, that you're not missing hands. Shlochasol Reglayim, that we're not missing feet. Zohi Shlemus Chitzonius, that is only a artificial, outward type of perfection. Shleimus Gufonius, a physical perfection. Right? And we know people spend, you know, there's foundations, there's billions of dollars spent to perfect those physical problems. People are very worried about being perfect. I mean, the fact of the matter that we see so much money being spent in the cosmetic surgery industry. Well, you know, if a person has a couple of wrinkles on their forehead, they have to spend exorbitant amounts of money so that my face looks perfect. So let's not kid ourselves. Everybody wants to be perfect. They're looking to be perfect. They're spending so much money to be perfect. So, and they're spending so much money on those artificial exterior. Ulam shleimus amidis, but the real perfection. Shleimus nafshis, the soulful perfection. Shleimus pnimis, this inward perfection. He shleimus shel kirvas Hashem, is the perfection that comes through being close to God. Adam shekarav Hashem, a person who's close to God. Ukamo shekasa Ramchal, as Lutzado says. Which he says, Ubaemis ki ashleimus amiti, that this is truly the true completion. Right? And that means in the bracket saying, as for everybody in this world, there's no one who's gonna have a different answer for this. So what is this completion? He had Dveikus Baruch Baruch Shemo. That is this connection to Hashem. That's what it is. This attachment to Hashem, that is the source of perfection. And there's nothing else. Nothing else. That's all there is. If you want to be the perfect person, we can translate that. People say, I want to be a good person. All I want to be is a good person. So the only way you're going to be a good person is by being an Adam Shalim, by being a complete person, a wholesome person. That's what it is. It's better than a good person. But that's at least a good person. So a good person can only be such a person if he's attached to God. And then Lutzado continues, Ukamo shekosev sham, as he writes as well, Vizula zeh, and anything besides that, right? Having a fancy house, having a fancy car, looking youthful when you're 60 years old. Anything besides that, mashech shavu b'dayarim l'tov, that people consider that's good, I'm a good person, ein ela hevel v'shov nita. This is what he's quoting Lutzado again. Anything besides that is nothing but emptiness and deceptive worthlessness. That's all it is. It's a facade, but it's not reality. All right, that's the words of Lutzado. You want to be a good person. You want to be the person that has accomplished what he was meant to accomplish in this world. You're going to get that, as King David says, attach yourself to God. And anything else is just a wasted life. That's all a Jew really has in his life. Kirvas Hashem udveikus b'Hashem. The ability to be close to Hashem and to cling to Hashem, that is what a Jew has. That's all we have. We have nothing else. And that is not dependent on any external factors. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter how healthy you are. Nothing else can stop you from being close to Hashem. It's totally within your power. There's no way that anyone could prevent you from being close to Hashem. And that is the goal in life. Kol mahusu shel Yehudi zeh lios karv l'Hashem v'davik v'Hashem. The whole essence of the Jew is to be close to Hashem and attached to Hashem. Now don't make a mistake and think, v'lo rak v'olam haba tach l'sodom lios davik b'boris baruch shmo. Not only in the world to come is the goal of a person to be attached to the Creator. Ela af kan b'olam hazeh. But even in this world, avodas ha'adam, the service of mankind in this world, v'tachliso in his goal, lios davik b'boris baruch shmo, is to cling to God. Kol rega, now more than this, any moment that you are not experiencing this attachment to God, at that moment, he is not a complete person. And he is not achieving the purpose of his life. He's lacking the true perfection, which is this connection to Hashem. So there you have it in paragraph 7, the purpose of life, and the only purpose of life is attaching oneself to God at all times. That's it. If you're not doing that, you're not in the program. You're wasting your life. The reason God gave you the life was for this, and you're not achieving it. Now you have a free will choice to do what you want, and you can convince yourself that you're a happy and good person without it. But it's all a facade. It's not the real thing, and it's a poor substitute for that. And any moment you're not living in that reality is one in which you're just not living the way life was meant to be lived. Okay, that was the issue. Now, of course, the rest of the book is going to tell us how we're going to achieve this, right?
Yeah.
How do you get this? And there's going to be a number of reservations that people are going to have about this. And you see, you understand now why he prefaced paragraph 6? See why paragraph... Now, we knew this? Did we tell you anything you didn't know?
No. This is not.
Most of you learned this paragraph of the Maseilas Yesharim. Didn't tell you something you didn't know. You knew it. But if you knew it, why aren't you doing it? Nobody's really feeling that close to God. So then you either you know it or you don't know it. And if this is it, then why aren't you doing it? So what do? We exercise our free-willed right of cognitive dissonance. I choose to ignore it. It's a piece of useful information. I learned it with the rabbi 5 years ago. It's very interesting. I filed it away. It gathers dust from every Pesach to every Pesach. And it's there. But it's not there. And that's what he's saying. Because if it was really there, our lives would be different. We'd be living a different life. We wouldn't let certain things upset us, etc., etc. It just wouldn't be that way. So that's the point. And therefore he says, Ches, Adam Amiti, a true person. Now remember, see, when you get to this, you understand what he was saying before, right? When he's saying in paragraph 4, I think it was 4, where he said, you really have to want this. You have to really want that purpose in life. Okay? If you don't really want it, then what I'm telling you isn't going to be of much value. If you're not really interested in hearing the truth, then we're wasting our time in this book. Because this is not, this doesn't agree with a lot of our lifestyles. We think. And because we think that way, that's why, you know, it's a big turnoff. And that's why it could be by the end of the week we'll be down to 5 people in the class every day. Because, this is not what I was looking for. No. This is not what I was looking for. But if you really believe that these words are true, then what's the next thing you should do? Paragraph Ches. Adam Amiti, a true person, Sheshamas Advarim, who hears these words, V'kibul Asam B'Nafsho B'Tzura Amitis, and you really integrate this into your soul in the proper way, if that would be the case, you should take these precious words of Lotzado. Write it on a piece of paper. Put it in your pocket. And about every quarter hour, every 15 minutes, in the pair of brackets, he says, so these words will remain before your eyes at all times. You're not going to forget it. What you do every 15 minutes? Take it out of your pocket. Read it. Integrate it. And remind yourself again and again and again. What is the reason why I'm alive? What is the purpose of my life? What is it? Attaching oneself to God. My purpose of my life is to be attached to God. Right? So now, when you go to work today, program your screensaver on your computer, my purpose of living is to cling to God. Is to be attached to God. You know, when you turn on your phone in the morning and it gives you that little message, cling to God. Right? And it's constantly bombard you. You know, your homepage, place, whatever. Cling to God. You should just see those words over and over and over. And it's no different than what advertising does. Advertising just keeps sending you the same, I can be in the club and I can be looking at whatever they got on the TV there. That's in 1 hour, that same commercial comes to me 6 times. At least in 1 hour, 6, 7, 8 times, the same stupid commercial. And you get upset at that commercial, but you know what? You don't forget what they're telling you. You just don't forget. They know. You bombard the person. And these are, and I'm only looking at it an hour, 2 times a week, whatever. Can imagine people watch hours and hours of TV. It just hits you again and again and again and again. So you've got to find a way to do the same thing, but to hit you with the truth. That the truth is that clinging to God. What's the purpose of my life? To cling to God. Just keep reminding yourself over and over and over. Because otherwise it's not going to be paramount in your mind. You read it again and again. Until these words are living in front of your eyes. And after a while, the top of page Yud Aleph, Memela, consequently, if you won't have to look at that page anymore. Because of the fact that your soul has recognized very clearly the purpose of your life and that constant search to set up these words, to make these words happen. So eventually you'll get it. You won't need the sheet anymore. After a few weeks, whatever, it's going to be there. It's going to be totally integrated. You're going to know, that's the purpose of my life. That's it. Okay, continuing, Tess. There's the last one on these sheets, and then Jeanette gave us the other one. Yes, sir!
So, the purpose of life is to cling to God, and the way you cling to God is a performance interest.
Well, he hasn't answered that question. You're jumping the gun. But ask the question anyway, so we'll have something to motivate us to continue learning.
Of the other 98% of the world, of people who aren't Jews,
the purpose of the rest of the world is to provide a venue of this world for us to be able to do what we have to do. So the guy who invented the BlackBerry, the guy who invented the MP3 player. You know what his purpose was? So that you, on the way to work, can review this class. Or if you miss the class, you have the ability to make it up easily and not to fall behind. Or to put Shas on the iPod and to create the Shas pod. That's what they have, right?
Right.
That's the purpose of that non-Jew in this world. That's their purpose, is to create the venue to make it easier for us to become attached to God. That's their purpose. That is their purpose. And if they want more of a purpose, they're welcome to become Jews. No one will stop them. If you really want to be close to God, God offered that to the rest of the world many years ago. Said, I'm giving you the best thing I could give you, being close to me. We don't want it. Okay, you don't want it. What do you want from me? You don't want it.
They're under no obligation to do that, so.
No, look. They're under no obligation because they chose not to live that way. They're not going to burn in hell. They're just not going to enjoy the pleasure of being close to God, which they refused. That's all.
But we say
Jew does. He gets the world to come, but that world to come doesn't make him close to God. He doesn't get dveikus. He doesn't get dveikus. He gets whatever he wants. He fulfills his purpose. His purpose is not to cling to God. It's not the non-Jew's purpose. It's not to cling to God. The purpose of the non-Jew is to maintain a civilized world. That's all his purpose is. He has to know there's a God, but he need not cling to God. He need not have a deep relationship with God. He must merely be a good constituent of the realm. That's his purpose. And then he can watch hockey games. He can do all kinds of things. And he has a very limited purpose. All he is a constituent. What would, you know, let's say like this. You're a Canadian citizen, right, Shelley? Okay. What's your purpose of life as a Canadian citizen? Just don't break the law. That's it. You know, and do jury duty, right? That's why I never wanted to become a citizen. Because there's no benefits to being a citizen in this country. It's only liabilities. that I'll have to do jury duty. So what do I need it for? That's your responsibility. Now you can do whatever else you want in that life. You want to enjoy your wife and your kids and this and that. It doesn't bother the Canadian government. But in terms of the goal of being a Canadian citizen, it's to be a good constituent. That's all. So now let's just make it bigger. Let's go beyond Canada. Let's take the world. You have now a world that God created. So now you're a constituent in God's world. A person's a non-Jew in God's world. God says, listen, you can do really whatever you want. As long as you don't break the laws, I got no problem. As long as you maintain a good society, you work, you're productive, fine. I'm happy with you. And you'll get a reward from me. What will that reward be? You know, you won't be burning in hell. You'll have a nice place to sit, but you're not going to be close. You'll be somewhere. You'll be somewhere far. What does Lutzado say? You'll be the garment. You'll be the garment of the Jew. You'll be selling popcorn in the stands of a good game, which is nice. People like to do that, right? But you won't get a box seat. You're not going to be right up close with the owner watching the game. It's nothing terrible. It's nothing terrible. You chose that lifestyle. I'm giving you what you want. You chose to be distant. So you'll be distant, and that's fine. And you'll think hockey's really fun. So you could have fun. Got no problem. You want to watch hockey games all your life? Fine. You want to eat lots of chicken? Fine. As long as you're not stealing it from anybody. It's okay. You want to be fat, overweight, and glutton? Fine. No problem. As long as it's legal, you're not stealing from anybody, you're not selling, you're not breaking the law, that's fine. You want to, as long as you have one wife at one time, I got certain laws, and if you follow those laws, that's fine. You want to spend the whole weekend just relaxing and drinking beer, getting drunk and not bothering anybody, that's fine. I got no problem with that. You didn't break any laws. As long as it's your wife and nobody else's wife, that's fine. I got no problem with that. You both want to get drunk the whole weekend and watch a bunch of hockey games? It's okay. I got no problem. You're not breaking any laws. And that's fine. And when you leave this world, as long as you believe that there was a God and you did this because I'm telling you to do this, but you don't want to be close with me, so you're not close with me. So fine. So you'll have in your world to come, you'll be drinking beers and watching hockey games. Whatever you're going to want, that, and that'll be your pleasure in the world to come. But it's so far away. There'll be a mirage of pleasure all your life. And that'll be fine for you. And they'll be okay. You ask a goy, what do you really want in life? I wish once I could watch the Leafs get a Stanley Cup already. It's people talk this way. You hear stories of kids dying, children dying of cancer. What do they want if a certain baseball player would come to my place and give me his autograph? Or the famous story with Babe Ruth, right? Famous Babe Ruth story. He visited the kid in the hospital. He said, I promise you a home run in tomorrow's game. Right? And he's pointing to the stands. The first pitch, he lets it go by. Strike one, he's pointing to the stands. Second one, he's pointing to the stands. Then he takes the bat and hits it over. That was for the kid. The kid, mamash geshmak. It was small vision. Watching a home run. I mean, ask any goy who's into sports. What's the greatest thing? Give me box seats to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup that the Leafs are playing. That's mamish my olam haba. And for years and years, they'll talk about the goal, the triple overtime goal that he was zoicha to see. He merited to see such a thing. And he'll tell this to his grandchildren, and they'll say it at his funeral. And that's what he wants. And so and that's what makes you happy. God says, that's fine. That's okay. It's no problem. But you're so foolish because you could have gotten so much more. And you didn't want to know. You didn't want to learn. You didn't want it. So you don't want it. That's okay. It's not a problem. You're not a bad person. You're not a bad person. The problem is you're missing so much more. And that's the non-Jewish world is always missing so much more than they could have had. That's all. And the problem is, for most of them, they're not even happy. That's what's the problem. Especially if they're Jews. Because they got neshamas that are starving. And that's the problem. So there's no problems, no hard feelings. God loves people and he wants to go ahead and enjoy his life. And if that's their limited vision of enjoyment, so let them have it. Don't say God didn't tell people what they could have. He He offered the whole world to be Jews. He offered them the greatest pleasure. They didn't want it. So it's fine. It's not a problem. Yeah. We have to thank Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Shalom, Sani Goy. But at least I got the opportunity. I'm on the inside track. If I work hard, I can get a much, much greater pleasure.
For the non-Jew that's born to a Goyish family, doesn't know any different. I mean, it's not like he chose that.
So that's fine. So that's
not put him in that.
That's
not fair. It's not like he's not choosing.
You know what? He can thank his parents for it. He can thank his parents for it. Okay, so no one's expecting. So it's not that when the goy dies, God says, you know, you should have known better. And since you didn't know better, I'm going to punish. That's not what happens. One thing, even a goy knows that there is a concept of morality. They know there is a concept, right? And you have to be a shtickle mensch. The shtickle mensch you have to be. So, you know, that's all. God's not going to say, why didn't you become a Jew? Why didn't you give lots of tzedakah? God's never going to mention them. And they'll be ignorant. Ignorance will be bliss for them. And they don't believe in the world to come, so they won't have a world to come. That's all. It's not that God's doing anything bad to them. These children, yes, are limited because of their parents' choices. And that's true.
So the last one is, what about the non-Jew who thinks he's close to God, who's just being misguided like an observant Catholic?
Right, so he's
close to God?
He's being misguided. God? It depends. If it's a mystic religion, if it's a true religion, or if it's not a true religion. He keeps eating those wafers thinking something's happening, and it's just been a waste of time.
But he's praying all the time and he thinks he's close.
So when he goes to the world to come, he's going to realize that his whole life was a mistake. Can you imagine, he comes to the world to come. The Almighty himself says, I want you to know, Jesus was a phony. He was a phony. He was the child of an adulterous relationship. That was your God. Really? Yes. You know. And how do you know? Because I'm God. He ain't my kid, right? And they're going to be in for a bit of surprise.
Oh, boy.
You know, but you know, you still were a nice Catholic, so, and you really were observant. So I'll give you a choice. You want to renounce your Catholicism? Then I'll give you some pleasure in the world to come or not. That's all. They'll be in for a big surprise. That's all. A big surprise.
Well, I have a question.
So what can you do? That's the way life is. Who's to blame? Other people are to blame. That's all. You know. But you know, it's very interesting. In a world where the world says you got to seek out the truth, we got to get to the bottom of the story. So why haven't you bothered getting to the bottom of the story of your life? So you want it to be foolish in a foolish world. So you're foolish. What can you do? That's what the world is. You know, I can't worry so much about the non-Jews. Their lives, their whole goal, they've messed up their goal. You know, God said, listen, I'm giving you a chance to have a really purposeful life. We don't want it. Okay, so this is what'll happen, and that's all. I can't fight with you.
Okay. Take George Bush. He publicly says, I ask God for advice. I pray to God to give me the wisdom to make the right decision. So this man is close to God.
He thinks he's close to God.
Yeah. But he honestly believes he is.
Okay, so God will be nice to him when he dies. He'll say, George, you made a mistake. I appreciate you tried to do things a little better, but you made some big mistakes, George. You know? Yeah, you know. And I'm sure as any politicians, he did a lot of dishonest things. He says, God's going to say, those dishonest things, you know, that was not nice, George. You're going to have to pay for that. You know, you should have been a little nicer to Israel. You should have been a little, whatever. And he's going to say, listen, I just want you to know you made a mistake. That's what's going to happen. That's Gemara Navei Zara. No? When Mashiach comes, God's going to be giving out the reward to Jews. Not just going to say, what about us? Why didn't you tell us? We didn't know. It's exactly your taina. When Mashiach comes, if you would have told us, you didn't tell us. It's, right? So he says, okay, fine, I'll tell you. You want a chance? Fine, here. Go live in a sukkah.
Here's a sukkah.
Go, give me a mitzvah. You want a chance now? It's gonna come. It's gonna come the time. Okay? Mashiach's gonna come. They're gonna know we're the real religion. Every Catholic's gonna know that their religion is phony. Right? They're gonna know. Mamish, the Mashiach's gonna come. God's gonna say, I want you to know Christ was a phony. Finished. It's gonna be all over the place. And they're gonna say, what do you want? My mother taught me it was real. So God says, fine, I'll accept. You want to make it up? Fine. Here. Look at all the Jews are doing now. They're going in a sukkah now. Now, go in a sukkah. And you can get lots of reward. Fine. I'll go in a sukkah. So what happens? God's gonna make it really hot.
Hot. Hot.
Gonna make it really hot. And they're gonna run out of that sukkah and kick the door down. And say, forget it, I don't want it. Right? And that's what's gonna happen. Because they're not going to really want it anyway. That's the essence of a goy. The essence of a goy is doesn't want to be close to God. That's the essence of a goy. You know, might want to be a good constituent, maybe, but they don't want to be close to God. And that's what you're going to learn in Sefer Bereishis. That's why you're learning Chumash. That's why you learn Parsha Shavua. You'll see the essence of a goy does not want to be close to Hashem. That's what a goyish life is. And even when Hashem will say, okay, now I'm telling you the truth, and I'm giving you the chance to be close to me, sit in a sukkah with me, and if you really like being with me, you'll ignore the heat. But if it's not 100% perfectly climate controlled temperature, you're slamming the door, that means that being with me isn't that important. You just want the prize. There are no prizes. The prize is me. You don't want me, then there's no prize to look for. That's what it's all about. You have to understand the nature of a goy. A goy does not want to be close to Hashem. Not the real Hashem. The goy wants to be close to the God that they create. That's who they want to be close to. Not the real God. Not the God that bosses them around. Not the God that tells them how to behave. That's in their nature. That was, you had them in Adam. Adam Arishon really didn't want to be close to Hashem. Really didn't? Noach wanted to be more of a humanitarian than being close to Hashem. Ham and Yafes certainly weren't in that category. That's history. Even within Shem, only 1% of Shem wanted to be close to Hashem. Go through the whole Sefer Bereishis. Who wants to be closer? What happens? Civilization becomes affluent, successful. They don't want to have a. They make the Tower of Babel. They don't want. This is history. You're learning in the Chumash. Mankind, by and large, chooses to ignore the gift that God wants to give them and to say, we don't want it, we don't want to be close to Hashem. And that was the original goy, and that's the goyish nature, is not to want to be close to Hashem. That's all there is to it. And as human beings, not to be in search of the ultimate truth and the ultimate perfection. So God says, okay, fine. So at least do one thing. Don't damage my world. Don't destroy my world. Can you at least do that? Can I at least ask that from you? And if you do that, then you are a good guy. And a good guy, you'll get season's tickets in Olam Haba. You get season's tickets, because that's what you want. I'll give you season's tickets. But to be close to me, you never wanted it, so I'm not going to offer it to you. And more than that, you don't want it. That's what you don't want it. They don't want it. The biggest gehenim for a goy would be to be close to God. Be gehenim. Right? What's the worst thing? The biggest proof is even Yidden. Who wants to really hear the rabbi talk? And that what the rabbi's telling you is Torah. And what the rabbi's telling you is to get you close to God. Who wants to hear it? Even with Yidden, who wants to hear it? So talk about goyim. And that's the way it is. It's a punishment. Can you imagine the biggest punishment for a regular Orthodox Jew would be to listen to the rabbi talk forever and he never would stop. Can you imagine? That'd be gehenim, wouldn't it be? Even now, if I'm talking at any more past 12 o'clock, it's lunch. I haven't eaten. I haven't eaten since breakfast that I ate at 9:30 because I didn't come to shul till 10. Right? And what do you mean? The rabbi's going to take us past 12 and I'm going to miss some lunch? Now imagine. That's Olam Haba. It's a forever drush. It's a non-ending drush. It's going to be Gehenim. And you can imagine some people, I don't have to say any names that come to mind, people who are the watchers, looking at the clock every minute, and And I can imagine you're in Olam Haba, you always look at the clock and it never moves past 5 to 12. Oh. Every time you look, it's still 5 to 12.
Oh.
When's he going to stop? It's still 5 to 12. It's Gehenim. It's Gehenim. Right? So they don't want it. So Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. You know, we have the chance to get that goal of being close to Hashem. So, you know, our liberal-minded feelings, we don't have to worry so much about the non-Jews. We don't have to worry about them so much. As long as you have to make sure that they don't give us any trouble, that's all. Okay, Tess. Okay. So now, Kamas man, v'yom, sh'orem zocher estach l'schayov, zeo asman shubem eschay. All the time in the day that a person remembers the goal of his life, you took out the sheet. I'm here to be close to God. I remember that. I'm acting that way. As long as you remember that, that's the time that you really are alive. That's being alive. Because you're living in concert with the goal. If you're living with the goal, then you're living your life the way you're supposed to. He puts in brackets. Okay, obviously, besides when you're learning Torah and trying to figure out a complicated Gemara, you can't in the middle of a complicated Gemara say, oh, let me take out the card and distract myself. Oh, purpose of life, being close to God. It's not the time to whip out the card. Which ones? HaTorah HaKedosha.
Yeah.
The Holy Torah. Okay, so when your mom is involved in a complicated piece of Gemara, we're doing a Rambam and I'm explaining you the intricacies of what Tshuva is doing. It's not the time to start, oh, wait, I got to pull up my card and interrupt it. No, that you don't. But any other time that you're remembering the goal, you're alive. Shar hazman, the rest of the time, shu asuk bishar dvarim, where you're engaged and engrossed in other activities, lelo zechiras habori yisparach shmo, without remembering God at that time, zehu dimu shel miso, that's comparable to being dead. Right? So a frum Jew is watching a hockey game and he's totally into the hockey game. Mamish into the hockey game. He's got all the statistics popping out of his mind. He's calculating what the coach is gonna do and when the coach is gonna pull the goalie and what's the implications if they lose. There's 6 games left in the season. They're gonna have to win the rest to take the cup and this and that and home field advantage and everything's popping through your mind and your mamish being ma'ayin. You're integrating the commentary of this former jock who was telling you, you know, what their strategy is, and you're mamish into it, and it's coming out to the final shootout, and you're hanging to this, and purpose of life? Get out of here! I'm busy watching a game. Right? You follow? And you spend an hour of that. That's a dead hour. You died for that hour. It's mamish, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. You're dead. Right? And you know what? A lot of us are like that. It could be that way at work. People need to be resurrected from the dead all the time. Can you imagine? You go to the guy during a hockey game, you know, and say, you know, I want to bring you back to life. Let's turn off the television. Let's learn. Forget about, you don't even have to learn Torah. Just, you know, let's do a mitzvah. Let's do something we're supposed to be doing. Let's just think about God. Let's think about how much Hashem loves us. You know, it's no different than a marriage. You know, a football widow, right? The husband's set for the Sunday. He's got his 2-4, his pizza and wings, and now he's got 9 hours of football to watch on a Sunday. And the wife just stands there watching, and she kind of, you know, she even, let's say, dresses up very romantically.
Romance.
And wants to snuggle up to the husband, and you know, you know, and the husband's just saying, go, 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 and the wife thought it's for her, but he's talking about the running back who's running, right? You know, and so the marriage is dead. It's dead for those 9 hours. There's no marriage. They're not married. And don't fool yourself to think you are. He's married to the football game, right? So everybody needs to come back to life. Right? Tchiyeshu yisker, a resurrection, a life that he remembers. Madua chai, why is alive? Uma tachliso kam b'elamazan, what his goal is in this world. And more than that, gam b'shoa sha'adam mekayim mitzvahs, even when you're doing a mitzvah, you're putting on your talus right now. Most people don't think why they're putting on their talis. Why are you bringing your tefillin? I'm doing it because monkeys do it, so I do it too. Right? All of liskor shetachlis ha-mitzvahs, that the goal of the mitzvahs, what's a mitzvah? Milashin tzavta is from the expression, as the Zohar says, tzavta means attachment. Kemosha kasuv bisfor makadoshim, as the holy books write. The mitzvahs meant to kolomar, shekol tachlis ha-mitzvahs, the whole goal of the mitzvahs, hilios tzavas labore, is so the person is connected to God, lios koravidovak labore, to be close and attached to God. So when you, even as a Jew, forget about a goy watching hockey, a Jew putting on tefillin. If you are forgetting when you're putting on tefillin that I'm doing it to be connected to Hashem, so then that mitzvah is not going anywhere for you. You're missing out. It's a dead mitzvah. Or the story with the blind angels, which we told you once before. When you make a mitzvah, you create an angel. So we create so many blind angels, deformed angels, because the mitzvahs aren't done properly, not bringing us close to Hashem. Lulei zos, without that thought, nechzer ikar panimis maos a mitzvah. We're missing the main inner essence of what the essence of a mitzvah is. Barezeh keguf b'lo neshama. Mitzvah without this thought is like a body without a soul. Soulless mitzvahs can happen in our lives. So even when you're doing mitzvahs, you better take the card out and say, I want to be close to Hashem. Okay, we can't finish test. We're almost done with test. Mishnah, we'll finish test. We'll do Yud. And then I would strongly recommend that over Shabbos, you read over the notes. So you integrate the information. You could say it over at the Shabbos table, the key points.